But to the layman, they appear to be on the same level as material activities. It so appeared that Arjuna and the Lord were engaged in the battle of Kurukshetra, as the other party was also engaged. But factually, the Lord was executing his mission of incarnation and association with his eternal friend Arjuna. Therefore, such apparently material activities of Arjuna did not drive him away from his transcendental position, but on the contrary, revived his consciousness of the songs of the Lord, and he sang them as he sang them personally, as, you know, as Krishna sang them personally. This revival of consciousness is assured by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita 1865 as follows. Matmana bhavamat bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mamabhashasi satyam te priti jane priyogasime. One should think of the Lord always. The mind should not forget him. One should become a devotee of the Lord and offer obeisances unto him. One who lives in that fashion becomes undoubtedly endowed with the blessing of the Lord by achieving the shelter of his lotus feet. There is nothing to doubt about this eternal truth. Because Arjuna was his confidential friend, the secret was disclosed to him. Arjuna had no desire to fight with his relatives, but he fought for the mission of the Lord. He was always engaged in the execution of his mission only, and therefore after the Lord's departure, he remained in the same transcendental position, even though it appeared that he forgot all the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord, and by doing this one is sure to return home back to Godhead. This is the highest perfection of life. Can I get a Bhagavad Gita? A Bhagavad Gita in the house. So, in the first verse, which I'll read again, Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. So, one has to be a little careful how to, understand, the position of Arjuna, who is, an eternal associate of the Lord. That somehow or another, one may take it that Arjuna was on the, material platform. And therefore, I've read the next verse in order to, so we can understand both verses in their context and understand that, Arjuna was never really on the, material platform, being an eternal associate of the Lord. The trashy thoughts, for those who do have trashy thoughts, they're mentioned actually in the 16th chapter. These divine and demoniac qualities. In verse number 6, Krishna says, now hear from me of, the demoniac qualities. In verse 7 he begins, Prabhitam cha libitim cha janana vidur asuraha na socham na vichacharo na satcham teshu vijite. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behaviour nor truth is found in them. Satcham apratisthante jagadoho anisvaram aparaspara asamputam kimmanyat karama vaitakum. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. So, of course, Itam drishtim vastavya nastatmano buddhaya prabhavat ugra karmaha kshaya jagato hitaha. Following such conclusions, the demoniac, who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence, engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Karamam ashita duskuram dhambamana aramitaha mohad vrihipatsan graham pravatante suci vrataha. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac thus illusioned are always sworn to unclean work, attracted to the impermanent. Chintam apalimiyam cha palayam tam apashitaha paramapabhoga paramam etavaditi nishtitaha asakusha satheravadha karma kroda parayanaha ihante karma bhoga tam anyayanata sanchayam. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of their life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires. And absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Idam ajamaya labham imam prapse manoratam. Idam astidam api me bhavishyati punahadanam ashomaya hataha shatru hanishe chaparam api ishroham aham bhogi siroham balavam chuki ajyo bijnavan ajmi konyo sti sadrashomaya yakshe dashyami modisha itya jnana vimohita. The demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices, I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. So, you know, quite a revealing look that Krishna gives into the, you know, as Prabhupada says, material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. So it's, you know, these type of desires based upon, you know, a multitude of, you know, insatiable material desires or lusty desires that Krishna is referring to as, you know, those on the material platform. Now, of course, we can't associate Arjuna, you know, with any of those qualities or those desires, because Arjuna being an eternal associate of the Lord, his only, you know, from the very beginning, actually Vishwanath Chakravarti IV reveals in his purport to text number 29, he says that, you know, not only is Arjuna an associate of the Lord, but he's actually an avatar, Narayana, the avatar. And being an avatar, it's actually not impossible for him to have contamination within his mind, because he's actually an avatar of the Lord. It's just not possible. He then goes on to say that, you know, some may say that he's also an Amsa of Indra, you know, which he was. But he also explains that that also cannot be. And how is that? That this very verse is explaining that, you know, his constant remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord rapidly increased his devotion. Now, being an associate of the Lord, that constant association and remembrance of the Lord began from his very birth. Right? You know, the association, the remembrance of Krishna was, you know, from the very beginning of his life. There was no chance for Arjuna to ever actually have material thoughts. You know, he's from the very beginning, that pure bhakti was there in the heart of Arjuna. So And Srila Prabhupada explains in the following verse, you know, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada nicely explains that it says, it appeared that Arjuna and the Lord were engaged in the battle of Kurukshetra, as the other party was also engaged. But factually, the Lord was executing his mission of incarnation and association with his eternal friend Arjuna. Therefore, such apparently material activities of Arjuna did not drive him away from the transcendental position, but on the contrary, revived his consciousness of the songs of the Lord as he sang them personally. So, you know, Arjuna's material activities or material condition is apparent. It's not factual. He was never, you know, we can't consider that he was on the material platform. Actually, as explained again by Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, that Arjuna was in fact, after the disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna, he was suffering, you know, great separation from Krishna. And, you know, therefore he may have, you know, for some time forgotten, you know, different aspects of Krishna, like his instructions in Bhagavad Gita, but that it was not, in other words, Arjuna's forgetfulness of the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita was not as a result of time or the action of ignorance that is described there. So this is Arjuna's position. Our position is a little different, or somewhat different. Now, Arjuna, of course, you know, he received the instructions as if he was a conditioned soul, as if he was on the material platform. Those instructions are meant for us. They're delivered to Arjuna. Why are they delivered to Arjuna? They're delivered to Arjuna, as Krishna says, because Arjuna is his devotee. Every devotee is situated in one of the five different rasas. In this case, Arjuna was situated in the rasa of friendship. You know, one can be in Santa Rasa, you know, Dasya Rasa, you know, friendship, you know, parental or conjugal. You know, all of those different relationships are the relationships of the devotees. And if one is a devotee of the Lord, one can understand, you know, proportionally to one's devotion, the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, Krishna explained the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He wasn't a Vedantist. It's not that one has to be a great scholar, you know, in anything, you know, academic, either materially or in the Vedas, in order to understand the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was not a Vedantist. Arjuna was not a Brahmana. Generally, the Brahmanas, you know, they're considered to be those who are fit to understand Vedic knowledge, what to speak of the essence. Arjuna was none of those. He was a family man. He was, you know, involved in the, you know, as a Kshatriya and you know, the politics and what have you. But his qualification was that he was a devotee. His heart was pure. He was not envious of Krishna. He was not envious of Krishna or his teachings. One who is, you know, has an envious mentality of the Supreme Lord, no matter what the Supreme Lord says, they cannot accept it. I was actually listening to a class on the way down here. Srila Prabhupada was talking in Hrishikesh, and there was a Gandhian, Indian gentleman, and he was, you know, asking Srila Prabhupada, you know, I'm searching after the one. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, you know, the one that is Krishna. You want to know, I'll tell you, the one is Krishna. Of course, they cannot accept that. And, you know, he sort of argued against it in different ways. So Srila Prabhupada was very straightforward with him that, you know, and that Indian man was saying, well, according to our interpretation, you know, we can interpret Because when an envious person is, you know, interprets, they change the meaning according to their, you know, motivation. Prabhupada said, you know, there's only need for interpretation when something is not clear. So, for instance, he gave the example that if you say that such and such a village is situated on the Ganga, and someone may question, well, you know, the Ganga is, you know, water. How can the village be on the water? And they may question, you know, how is that village situated on the water? And then someone may say, well, you know, the interpretation is that the village is situated on the bank of the water, you know, on the bank, like that. So if something's not clear, but, you know, the essential meaning is not changed. Prabhupada was saying that, he was saying that to this man that whatever Krishna says, you give it a different meaning, and therefore you are cheating. And he said, you know, your whole approach to Bhagavad Gita is just a cheating approach. So he's very, very straightforward, you know, with this man. You know, and he explained that if you're a bhakta, you know, that envy is not there, this devotion. You know, if you're inclined to hear from that person, then you can hear something straightforward. If you're disinclined to hear from that person, then those instructions, you know, you can't take them. I remember saying that once to my spiritual master, that I heard one class and I said, oh, Srila Gurudev, that was a most wonderful class, and it's just really, you know, I've got so much from that. And he said, yes, Gangaswara, it's amazing how much we can, you know, hear and understand we're in the mood to hear. So he wasn't saying that it was such a wonderful class that he had given. he was saying, you know, you're obviously in a proper mood to hear, and therefore you absorb something that, you know, you probably wouldn't absorb. You know, if you're disinclined to hear something, you know, you don't get much from that person. So, you know, because they have a cheating mentality, no matter what Krishna says, you know, they cannot absorb it. They you know. But if one is a bhakta, you know, there's no envy and there's some devotion, and one can understand very easily. So, you know, Krishna's teachings are actually very simple, and it was spoken to Arjuna, and one does not have to be, you know, a great scholar or have any material qualification. But Krishna spoke his teachings to Arjuna as if he was a conditioned soul, but thus, you know, the instruction was actually meant for us. Similarly, you know, when Srila Prabhupada was in Jiva Goswami's temple, what's that called? Radha Damodara temple, I think it is. And he was discussing how Jiva Goswami was, you know, the one pundit, you know, he was like one of the pujaris there. So he was a follower of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. But there was something he could not understand. And that was a pastime of Jiva Goswami. There was a pastime where this great pundit came to Vrindavan. And he travelled all over India, and he was defeating everyone, you know, as a scholar, debating. And he had heard that the greatest of scholars was, you know, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, you know, in Vrindavan. So he thought, I will go and defeat them. So he went there, and he said, you know, I want to defeat you in scholarship, because I am the greatest scholar, like that. So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, of course, they're just absorbed in serving the Lord. They have no business establishing themselves as, you know, great scholars or trying to maintain their reputation. So they said, yes, you are a great scholar, you have defeated us, now go away. So this, he wanted in writing, you know, so he, yes, here we give him writing like this. You know. So he went, yes, I have the feet. So Jiva Goswami, he sort of secretly witnessed this. He was very disturbed that, you know, Rupa and Sanatan would be discredited, that the teachings, the great teachings that they had, would somehow be overshadowed by the teachings of someone, you know, of a more materialistic bent of mind, you know, and that would be a great disservice both to the Goswamis and to their teachings. So he then challenged that Dipajaya to a debate and defeated him. So then Rupa Goswami found out, and he said, oh, you know, in Vrindavan there was no place for this pride, and he chastised Jiva Goswami. You know, how can you possibly reside in Vrindavan and your mind and your heart are so full of pride? So he banished him. So, you know, he sent him away. So Jiva Goswami, he had to leave Vrindavan, and for a full year he resided in, he performed great austerities. I think he resided in the whole of the crocodile, abandoned, you know, crocodile den on the bank of the Ganges. He lived extremely austerely. Anyway, after some time, one day Sanatan Goswami was reading some prayers to Rupa Goswami, and he was describing the qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he is Jiva Gaya, the deliverer of the Jiva. And Rupa Goswami understood, oh yes, 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 you know, this is Chaitanya's mood. So he said, yes, Jiva Goswami, he can come back now. That is. So anyway, you know, it's a difficult pastime to understand. So one time, when Prabhupada was in Jiva Goswami's temple, and he was talking to one pundit who was a follower of the Goswamis, and he said, you know, I cannot understand, you know, why is this, why is that passing? And Srila Prabhupada explained that Rupa Goswami, his instruction was through Jiva, but the instruction was actually for us. The instruction was given to Jiva Goswami as if he had the material qualities. Actually, that is not the case. The instruction was for us, that we had the qualities. In the same way, the instruction to Arjuna, you know, as if Arjuna has the material qualities, but factually the instruction is meant for us. You know, that we have these qualities and thoughts within our hearts. So, you know, these pastimes, because materialistic people, you know, cannot understand. You know, the Bhagavad Gita, we see that, you know, Krishna is telling Arjuna that, you know, he says, you know, in the fourth chapter that, the second chapter, that, you know, you should be, you know, tolerant, you know, and he explains in the sixth chapter that you should not discriminate between friends and enemies. You know, these are material, you know, qualifications. You know, again in the 14th chapter, you know, these same instructions are there, that one should not distinguish between, you know, friends and enemies. One should be non-violent, peaceful. So he gives all these instructions. Now, these qualities, you know, this is to help us to understand our position, that we should be make no other consideration. It's actually Krishna who makes these judgments. As a devotee, we just depend upon Krishna's opinion. You know, so we are situated neutrally, and we just wait for Krishna's opinion. So therefore Krishna says to Arjuna, you know, all these things, and then he says, So now you go out and you kill them all. So, you know, it's not up to Arjuna to consider, you know, who is friend, who is enemy. I think Prabhupada mentions that here. But, it so appeared that Arjuna and the Lord were engaged in battle with Kurukshetra, as the other party was also engaged. The fact that the Lord was executing his mission. You know, actually, in the battle of Kurukshetra, many of them were maybe on that platform of who is friend, who is enemy, like that. Arjuna was not on that platform. Arjuna's platform was that his only desire and his only vision is whatever Krishna wants, I will do. You know, so that is the so for us, you know, we have to rise above the bodily platform of life. When we become situated on the bodily platform of life, we develop so many different desires, material desires. We have different desires for sense gratification. And if something is disturbing our sense gratification, we become very much averse or inimical to that. If, you know, if someone is assists us in our sense gratification, they become our friends. And if someone disturbs our sense gratification, they become our enemies. Therefore, you know, as described, that you know, by such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Ultimately, you know, the material life is so disturbing that one cannot think of spiritual things, and even if one thinks, tries to have some desire for liberation, one may try to become, merge, become one with the Supreme Lord, where there's no, you know, varieties, no activities, no form, no personality. One, you know, the sour grapes that, you know, I could not enjoy in this material world because of having, you know, form and activities. Therefore, let me do away with form and activities and go to the spiritual world where there is no form and activity. So, you know, these compatible and incompatible things, they're the result of our material desires. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches us that if we ultimately want to come to that same transcendental platform as Arjuna, we have to think like Arjuna and act like Arjuna. We have to become free from material desires, from material considerations according to the bodily concept of life, and we have to fix our mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and what is his desire. And of course, as we know, to do that, we need to understand the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, hear from those who, you know, understand those instructions. So, I'll just read this verse again. So, Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the tracks in his thoughts subsided. And because of the Lord's pastimes and activities, and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personnel of Godhead. The fact that this was not the case, and again he became the Lord of his senses. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments about this. It can be done in 1 second. You know, Prabhupada mentions that. If We just think of Krishna. We just think of Krishna. It can be done in a second. That is, you know, described here. But Manmana Bhagavad Bhakto Majiji Manamaskuru Mama Vaishasi Satyam Te Pratijani Priyosi Me. You know, one should think of the Lord, the mind should not forget him, one should become devoted to the Lord and offer obeisances to him. So, you know, there's the example of Maharaj Katvanga, that, you know, he understood that he was going to die within the next moment, so therefore he fixed his mind upon, you know, the Lord, and Srila Prabhupada describes that that is the, you know, that opportunity is there, that, you know, there's no impediment. If one wants to think of Krishna, then one can do that within a second. So it is there, but you know, our difficulty, of course, is that there is a sort of a stubbornness, you know, which we've developed over many, many lifetimes, and it's sort of just a very bad habit. And as long as we, you know, maintain that stubbornness, then we may not think of Krishna, even though the opportunity is there. But you know, really, thinking of Krishna is something that can be done in 1 second. You know, you just think of Krishna. And you know, there's nothing that can prevent that. If you want to think of Krishna in your head, oh, he's in there. And you know, if we're stubborn, you know, we cannot think of him. You know, we will choose to think of something else. Stubborn
is
need
more Jesus.
But yes, yes. Yeah.
So you are saying, like, depending on also which mode we associate with it, that will also determine.
That's right, yes, and that's also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, we stubbornly continue to, you know, associate with different modes, with, you know, rather than associate with Krishna. Yeah. Anyone like to mention something about Jagadish Pandit? Jagadish Pandit is trying to. Yeah. No, you say. Who knows a little something about Jagadish? No?
I don't even know
who he was.
What's
that? I don't even know who he was. Mm-hmm. The associate of Lord Chaitanya. I've said something.
Yeah,
did I? That's it. I usually look them up, but I didn't have time yesterday.
Is he an associate from Nalavik or from Puri? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other questions?
I didn't quite, you know, I was just going to catch the term that you find to Arjuna in the theme of the class. You're saying, well, I mean, Arjuna is an avatar of Krishna. Then you mentioned another term.
Sorry, then I mentioned.
You mentioned the second term, which I thought was to do with Arjuna being.
An answer, or you know, he was born from Indra, you know, Sri Kunti. So he's, you know, many of the associates of the Lord. Vishnu Chakravarti the Kaur describes this as well. That, you know, many of the associates of the Lord. If you read the Mahabharat. You'll see that sometimes they're associated as, you know, with some particular demigod, that they were this demigod and they now appeared on earth or what have you. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that sometimes the confidential nature of the Lord's associates are kept confidential, and therefore for the general people they may be just associated with certain demigods, you know, the understanding that they're an eternal confidential associate of the Lord is something that's not always revealed. So people may consider that Arjuna is associated with the, you know, the son of Indra or the Yamsura of Indra like that. But if that were the case, then you know the Acharya is pointing out, then how is it that he was, you know, Krishna conscious and you know manifested bhakti, you know, pure bhakti from the very beginning of his birth? So it couldn't be that he would be an ordinary demigod. So that was, you know, discussing that. Yeah. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.